The Deacon and Dad.
Welcome. It's been a little strange, obviously, since...
A little? That's an understatement.
Okay, so let me be. I was getting really down.
I was getting angry.
Well, that too.
Oh, okay. Just fucking angry.
Yeah. All right.
And I don't want to stay in that space.
No. That's, you know,
I'm not trying
to
stay there. That's...
No, but I'm telling you, what got me out of it,
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, I have a warped sense of humor, but I'm always looking for the funny.
Right.
And as depressing as I thought all this was, then I started seeing stuff that was funny. And that got me out of it. And so now don't get me wrong, this is serious stuff.
Right.
This man can really mess up this country.
The whole team he's got with him.
Yeah. So I'm not being flip about this as far as the seriousness that I take this.
Right.
But I can't be running around being depressed and angry all the time. So I got to get something to keep mm-hmm. get me through the day, because I do have a life. You know?
Right.
Hey, we have this podcast and it's fun for us. To
worried about
do...
this, all these fools trying
right.
to take our rights away.
Yeah. So now I look for the funny. The little moments where it is just so hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the thing that turned it around was when Bibi Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, was here.
Yes.
Standing next to Agent Orange.
Mm-hmm.
And he, first of all, waffles on the two-state solution. And that guy was
right. Didn't make any damn sense.
I'm like, okay. Man,
he has
no clue
what was going on.
And then he goes and the first question... He points to a reporter. Now, here is the Prime Minister of Israel.
Yeah.
You know, the titular head of the Jewish... I mean, not the titular. The head of the Jewish state. And the first question comes from a reporter from the Christian Broadcasting Network.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm like, okay, wait a minute. This makes no sense. So there was a series of those kinds of things. Doing that crazy press conference he had. So
wasn't even a press conference.
Oh yeah,
it was like a hey look at me conference.
Yeah, or a rant-a-thon.
I like that one.
But again, I'm listening to this guy going, what the? And then I'm going, okay, here comes the funny. A reporter from a prominent Jewish publication
mm-hmm.
asks him about the apparent rise of anti-Semitism in this country, because the day before some clowns had gone over and knocked over 200 gravestones in the Jewish cemetery. And Trump just didn't seem to understand the significance of the question and told the guy, look, just sit down.
Wow.
Okay. And then...
What was the reporter's reaction?
He was like stunned. He sat down. Of course, he got a lot of negative press in the Jewish press. They were all like, what?
Right.
You know,
right.
You couldn't even say the standard, I abhor anti-Semitism mm-hmm. in any form. I did say something like, well, my daughter's Jewish and my son-in-law's Jewish and my grandchildren are Jewish. And I'm like,
so? It means you hate them too.
Yeah. In that same rant-a-thon, there's a reporter, a black reporter named April Ryan.
Yes.
She gets up and asks.
I've met April a few times.
Yeah, I have too. And so she asks his Cheetoness, what are you going to meet with the CBC? And he goes, huh? The Congressional Black Caucus. Are you going to meet with the Congressional Black Caucus? And he says, can you set that up? Are they friends of yours? And I'm like...
But I like her reaction. She was like, I mean, I know some of them, but I'm a reporter.
So it's like...
No, we all black people don't know each other.
You know, was not... The thing is that a lot of my women friends they all freaked out, aside from his racism.
Oh, right.
But they were like, so he gonna tell the black woman to do secretarial right. work? What the? So I have to keep looking for the funny. My next favorite one was Justin Trudeau, who I love. I think he's, you know, he's the Canadian prime minister. But he's like...
block the handshake?
Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But see, a lot of people...
They practiced that one.
He knew what was... And you also got to remember that Justin Trudeau is Canadian royalty in a sense.
Yes.
His father was prime minister for like 10 or 12 years. Mm-hmm. Was revered. The kid was raised, you know, as the scion of the Trudeaus.
Right.
He did everything. He was a little, you know, rich kid, but he didn't turn out to be a spoiled rich mm-hmm. kid.
He's a prince.
He's a prince. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. He's Canadian royalty. Right. You know, he's good looking.
Right.
He's an athlete.
Charming.
He's done all this mm-hmm. stuff. And he's smart. So, but when he went up to meet Trump, he walked up and he stuck out his hand to put on Trump's shoulder before he did the handshake. Because Trump's handshakes are notoriously weird.
Oh, yeah, it's totally weird.
And then he did the two shakes and pulled his hand back. And I was waiting for Trump to hold on his hand and then have Justin pushing back like, no, dude.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, so it's this, you know, he's doing his foot, but he's blocking the...
It was great. It was a great move, and I'm sure they practiced that. They studied it. Said, okay, you're going to have to lock your arm, lock your shoulder here before you grab his hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Then shake. He can't move.
Yeah, he can't move.
I wonder if they had to get a wrestling coach to figure that one out.
Yeah, or then the Japanese prime minister, when he had to shake his hand.
The eye roll of the decade.
It's like, dude, side eye for months. And it's like... And somebody said, it's like, this is really the Japanese who are known for their formal introductions, and it's very, you know.
Their restraint.
Yes, there's, and this dude goes, what the?
He couldn't even.
He couldn't even. Yeah, it's like, I don't know what just happened, but hey.
No, it's like, yes, your true culture came out.
Yeah, it's like, no.
People of color will give you an eye roll in a minute.
It was just hysterical. So that's been my my saving grace, is that I keep between that and thinking of how the reporters seem to have no understanding of anything.
Break it down.
Well, they let them get away with saying stupid stuff, and they don't follow up.
I think they've been getting a little better. At least they've been saying he's a liar now.
Well, yeah, okay, but
at least on I don't watch really the press corps interviews, but on all the commentary afterwards and everything, but they are at least they're saying he's a liar.
Yeah, I know, but you want to do that? But I want to, you know.
However, I still don't understand why they keep having them on the show. I was like, you're having, like, Kellyanne.
Oh, no.
She's just lying.
She's in the doghouse right now.
So, and all these other folks that have on, have them on. You're sitting here outright lying.
Okay, but now here's the thing that's really, it's bugging me, but I find it funny, too. The new Kellyanne is Stephen Miller.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, man, no, please.
I was like, oh, great.
But there's a funny story about that. A couple of years ago, I get this email from a friend of mine saying, have you become Ron Paul's spokesman?
Oh, funny.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then he shows me this website where they had pulled up an interview with the Stephen Miller, who was the advisor to the president.
Yeah.
And he had been interviewed in the Times. And they pulled up a picture, but they pulled up my picture.
Oh, wow.
They pulled, because I assume somebody did Stephen Miller, New York Times, and my picture from my column came up. And these guys, Stephen Miller, New York Times, boom. Because they thought, and so my friend Bob Anthony had to call these people and says, you know, you got the wrong Stephen Miller.
One. Wow.
They took it down. Okay, but I didn't get a chance to grab it before they took it down.
Yeah, I bet you it's on somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
We can find a clip of that.
Probably in the archive.
Yeah, so, Internet Archive.
Yeah, it says, I'm not the Steve Miller you're looking for. No.
So. That was good. So what about the DNC this week?
Okay.
So what was all the mess going on with there?
Now, I'm...
Because I didn't know much about
about
the brother who was all the...
Oh, Keith Ellison?
Yeah.
Okay, now here's the thing. I like Keith. He was the first Muslim to get elected to Congress.
Okay.
He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's from Minnesota, from Al Franken country, you know. There's
right.
a lot of... Minnesota has a long history of sort of great liberal politicians. And he's fine. There's nothing against Keith Ellison.
So what was all the anti-Semitism thing?
No. Well, see, but that's that same stupidity. Oh, he's a Muslim, therefore he's a terrorist.
Is that all it came from?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, they made a big deal when he got elected that he's of course a Muslim, mm-hmm. so he's not gonna get sworn in.
Oh yeah,
in
the Bible.
And he wanted a Quran.
Yeah.
And people are freaking out.
Oh, please.
It's like, that's his Bible. It's his religion. Why are you getting freaked out? He is, you know, swearing to his God that he is going to protect the Constitution of the United States of America.
Right.
They're crazy. Anyway, okay. Now, here's my problem. I got to separate that I like Keith Ellison. He's a good legislator. He's a good brother.
All right.
And all that. He was an early Bernie supporter.
Okay.
I have been upset with Bernie Sanders for years.
Yes.
I knew Bernie Sanders before anybody was talking about Bernie Sanders. Now, here he is. He's saying, he's backing Keith Ellison. And all the Bernie bros are going up backing Keith Ellison, which is fine. But here's my thing. So, Bernie is now part of the Democratic leadership. And he's acting like he's the titular head of the Democratic Party.
Okay.
Clearly the progressive wing, you know, Bernie gets on. And I'm like, dude, you haven't changed your party affiliation. You're still listed as an independent. Why do you get to say what the fuck the Democrats do?
You know, the Democrats really need to take a lesson from the Republican playbook. And meaning, run the damn play.
Yes.
Everyone run the fucking play. That's why the Democrats don't have any power anymore. You guys are all over the place. You can't stick to the damn play. The Republicans, regardless of how crazy their play is, everyone sticks to the play.
So here's the thing that got me. It's like, now, frankly, if I had been part of the DNC, I would have voted for Tom Perez.
Okay,
first of all, he's young,
younger. Okay.
He's got a distinguished career as a lawyer in the Justice Department. He was the labor secretary under Obama. He's Hispanic. And I'm sorry, if the Democrats want to get out of this hole, next time around, they have got to bring in Hispanic voters to the Democratic cause. They got to get them registered. They got to get them running for office. And I'm sorry, being dictated to by a 74-year-old white man, Jewish white man from Vermont. Now, I know I just hit all the trigger points and said all the racist stuff, but I'm doing that for effect. So, you know, I mean, I've been so irritated with Bernie Sanders during that campaign because he didn't really have any black people working for him. He didn't go into the black community. He stuck to his
three points. Made it seem like he went into the black community.
But he, you know, okay, so he had a lot of prominent people. So, Killer Mike and...
I'm saying it seemed like it. Only we know how the spin works.
Yeah, but the difference is that Hillary's been in the black community. Now you can say, oh, that was my favorite line. And somebody says, well, you've been accused of pandering. Because she was on some black radio show and they were, you know, doing the thing about the hot sauce in the bag and all that stuff. Said, you've been accused of pandering. And she looked at him and said, is it working? I'm like, yeah.
That's a good line. You know, of course you pander.
Of course you pander.
You're a politician. That's part of their job.
But it's how
even
you...
Even the good one. Yeah, it's how you pander.
It's how you pander. Right. You know?
It's how you pander.
You know, you can pander my ass off if you're giving me a nice massage. Right. You know? It's like, oh, yeah, okay. Pander, baby, pander.
You got a little dancing panda going on.
Yeah, okay. It's, you know?
If you do it right, you can pander.
Yeah, black and white, soft and furry. You know, hey. So I was just, yeah, okay. So I just like to, looking at the political aspect of this, and it's just so, I mean, I guess I gotta go a little bit more on my Bernie rant.
Well, before we go back to Bernie, so what's with the new leader, the new elected leader for the DNC?
Okay, so he's a good guy.
Okay.
He's got a lot of administrative experience because he's been, he's run a major department that has 17 or 18,000 people in the labor department. I think he was a congressman.
Okay.
But he definitely worked in the Justice Department. I don't think he worked in the Civil Rights Division, but he was, you know, he's had years of government service. He knows how to run stuff.
Qualified.
Yeah, he's qualified, super qualified.
So do you think he will be effective?
I think he will be effective because I think his thing is he can, without being branded, to go after the Hispanic voters. Because, I mean, the Democrats got the black votes locked up. I mean, we ain't going nowhere as far as...
No,
as
but
the Democrats, you know, we
are. They still need to do more outreach.
I understand it. Yeah, but the point is, we aren't going to the Trump wing of the Republican Party.
No, but we're not going out and voting for them, which is just as bad. And that's why they
But what I'm saying is that I think he is going to bring the Hispanic votes in, and he is going to continue to cater. Is a better word, to the black community. I don't think he's going to cut them out. And the first thing he did was make Keith Ellison his deputy.
Right.
So it's like, okay.
So we got some movement going on.
Yeah. So I'm not, I'm sort of happy about this because the Democrats need to regroup. Okay. They're on the losing end. And that's okay. That happens. But they got to get out. They got to get, look, I'm not a young person, but I'm telling you, they got to get rid of us. You know, they got to get rid of us. So, you know,
at some point, you need some new ideas, new fresh ideas.
Look, you got Nancy Pelosi, who's like in her 80s, Bernie Sanders, 77, Chuck Schumer's got to be in his late 60s. And no disrespect that these people have been done their job.
Yeah, they put in some work.
But it's time to go bring up some new people.
Right. I agree.
I mean, Barack Obama came out of the middle of nowhere, and that's good. And we need, what we need, though, is to redo the Democratic Party so that it goes back to doing grassroots, the same way the Republicans. Let's go back and elect people to the state legislatures, to the city councils, so that we can counter all this stuff about these stupid bathroom bills.
Yeah, all of that is just a distraction.
Yeah.
From all the bills and all the shit that they're signing 2-3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, don't pay attention to him. What he's saying over there.
It's like,
let the monkey be the fool.
Yeah. Stop.
Don't, you know, pay attention to
don't
him.
Don't pay attention to the shiny object.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
The shiny orange object.
Yeah. So I'm, as much as I'm just sort of, you know, that line about when you compare something and say no disrespect to the whatever it was. It's like when people call him the orange Cheetos. And I'm saying, I wish you wouldn't do that because I like Cheetos.
I know, like, no disrespect to Cheetos.
Don't disrespect the Cheetos.
Yep.
Don't disrespect my name.
Respect my Cheetos.
Don't respect my Cheetos. Cheetos is a cat. Cool cat.
A cool cat, right?
You know? Bring the orange.
Cool Cheetos.
So,
you know, it's funny that didn't mean to be so political on the show, but it's just so much of that shit happening. You got to talk about it.
Yeah.
We got to remind folks. You got to resist this bullshit, even in the smallest way.
As long as you're doing something. Yeah, you got to resist it, but it's also impossible to get away from it.
That's what I'm saying. It is.
I
feel like we're in a Star Wars film. We're part of the resistance. The evil empire is taking over. They're trying to build a fucking Death Star.
Yep.
And yeah, we need some little ships to go in there and blow up some shit.
Yeah. So I don't know. I keep looking.
I mean that metaphorically. I don't want the FBI swarming in here and shooting my ass.
No, I'm not. Yes, we are.
I say that jokingly and seriously.
Yes, this was not a threat of violent overthrow of the United States government. This was a peaceful resistance to...
A peaceful coup.
Well, you know, but they've been going on and on about the 25th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could be interesting.
There is plenty of reasons or plenty of evidence to get him impeached already. So, I mean, he's already violated the Constitution by his business dealings.
Yeah, that's...
During the campaign, he invited a foreign power, enemy foreign power, to hack into our system. I mean, that was... Come on.
Yeah, I mean,
The Republicans impeached Clinton for a sex scandal.
Yeah. but every time they talk about impeachment, I get legalistic and I do my reporter thing. Impeachment is an indictment. He didn't get convicted in the Senate, so he was not guilty of anything.
Right.
No, that's me. That when somebody says something like that, I want to correct them. I want to say, we can impeach him. Well, you can impeach him all you want, but if he doesn't get convicted in the Senate, it's meaningless. Impeachment is an indictment. These are the charges that we're going to bring to court.
But meaning they went that far.
Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. I'm not...
That's what I meant. You're right. Yeah. No. Legally, he did not get impeached.
Right. Okay.
But they went so far as to really attempt
to impeach. And he would have... He wasn't convicted. Nixon would have been convicted if he hadn't. The thing that scares me about Trump is he can't admit a mistake.
He never will.
And what do you do when you say you violated the law? This is a criminal act. And no, it's not. It's their fault. No, you were the guy. And we got evidence, and you can't do some of the things you're doing. It's against the law.
I'm looking forward to the day they throw his ass in jail.
They're not going to throw him
in jail. They won't. No, they're going to. He's a president. They'll fine him for something. He won't do any time.
I don't know. It depends on what you mean by doing time. If he gets thrown out of office, then they can now, he's a private citizen. So then they can then start doing all the stuff to a private citizen that they couldn't do to the president. Okay, so violating that lease agreement with the GSA by owning that hotel.
Right.
Or leasing the hotel from the government. Flying down to Mar-a-Lago every weekend and having to spend how many millions of dollars flying around to campaign rallies on Air Force One. He's 2 weeks into his presidency and he's already campaigning for the next.
Just talking about how great he won.
Yeah, I'm like,
no.
What? And, you know, the it's just, you know, and the fact that how much money we're spending in New York to protect his wife and son, who decide they don't want to move to D.C. permanently. They want to stay up here so he can go to school. And his daughter is sitting in all these high-level meetings, but she has no official job. Her husband does. Mm-hmm. And you go, wait, whoa. Why is the first daughter sitting in on these high-level meetings? What is, you know?
Yeah, that's... So, final thoughts for the week.
It's going to be okay.
You know, I like that.
We
you're right.
Find the funny. It's going to be okay.